Well, I think dancing is where people are at their most open and honest, in a funny way. Have you not noticed this when you watch your friends dance? If you're in a club and you watch your friends dance, they become more really what they are. That they lose their self-consciousness. I think one of the great downsides of individualism is that everyone is very self-conscious. I mean, you see it on Facebook. Everyone is grooming themselves and aware that everyone else is looking at them, yeah? And there is a mood in our time that everyone is very aware of being looked at. And I think that when people dance, they can lose that, and they become more free and open. And I just think it's a good moment, and I just like it, so I tend to put it in my film because it just gives you a moment of sort of openness and honesty emotionally. That's all. And I just like dancing and I like music, and so I just put it in. I mean, a lot of the things I do in my films are just because I just feel I want, I'm a radical individual too. I feel I want to put that in, so I just put it in. And sometimes there are no reasons. I'm just trying to create a mood that allows me to then put over a more intellectual argument. So I'm just trying to create a mood. So it's just about mood, really.
RRS, Museo Reina Sofia Radio.
I think individualism is the great phenomenon of our time. Yeah? It's what happens in a mass democracy when people become more confident and they don't feel that they have to gain their identity through being part of a church or being part of a trades union or being part of a political party. That they gain their identity by their own feelings, their own desires, and what they want. And that's the ideology of our time, is that what you want, what you feel, is the most important thing. And in many ways, it's wonderful. It's really good because it liberated millions of people from being oppressed by families, by bad families, by oppressive organizations, by churches, by all sorts of political parties who used people. And it was really good, and it gave people confidence. The problem with it is that there are two problems. One is that it is very difficult to have a political party when you are dealing with millions of radical individuals, because they all want different things. The solution of the right is just to have the market and say, well, we'll give the individuals what they want. The left, who want to change the world and make it a better one, the progressive idea, have found it very difficult. The other problem with it is that whilst it's good and whilst it's wonderful to be a free individual, when things go wrong, when things go badly, you can find yourself very frightened and very weak. And the picture I would give is that if you go into the woods at night by yourself, it's very frightening. You're alone, and every snap of a twig and every noise behind the bushes is scary. But if you go into the same woods at night with your friends, it's wonderful. You feel alive and you feel confident. And in a way, that's the weakness of individualism, is that it, when things do go bad, and they have gone bad over the last 5, 6 years, it can be very frightening and you feel very alone and you don't feel there's anyone who can take you into the woods with you, that you're on your own in the dark. And that's its weakness. So it's in many ways it's wonderful, but it's difficult to change the world with a group of millions of individuals. One politician said to me, it's like herding little piglets. They all want to go different ways. Whereas in the past, they would follow you as a party. And secondly, if things are bad, it's frightening to be on your own. Well, I think we live in an age where we have become entranced by the machines we've built. I mean, any age that builds a new kind of machine feels that it is like a magical thing. And these machines we've built are like magic in many ways. We feel that. What we then do is try and construct ideas about how the world is and how the world could be based on those machines. And in my films, not last few films, I've tried to show how in different ways the engineering ideas that lie behind so many of the machines we have, above all the idea of feedback, has become a sort of an ideology, a sort almost like a political belief, that somehow through feedback you can create a kind of stable system. So, for example, people point to nature and they say, look, nature's ecosystems maintain a stability. And they point to social media and they say, look, through the feedback of information between millions of individuals, you can get a stability. What I've tried to point out is, firstly, how that has happened. And secondly, to raise some questions about it, because underneath, I think what's happened is they are confusing an engineering process with a vision of a future world. So, for example, in the most recent film I made called Hypernormalization, I showed that both in the Occupy movement, which took off after 2008 in America and in Europe and in other parts of the world, many of those who gathered there were gathered through social media. It worked very well. But when they got there, they thought that somehow that same process, the process of feedback, could be used to create a new kind of society. So in the Occupy movement, for example, they would sit around in meetings without a leader, and they hoped that out of those meetings would come a new kind of society. It didn't. What came out of it was confusion, because what they had misunderstood was that an engineering process does not give you an idea of how to create a new kind of world. What it can give you is a mechanism to assemble millions of people together. It's beautiful, it's brilliant at that, but it doesn't give you a picture of what kind of future you can build. And when they were sitting, I was a bit cruel, but in the film, I said that when they were sitting around there having those meetings, in a way, they were behaving like managers. They were trying to manage a situation, and they were confusing management with a picture of the future. So really what I was saying about, it's more than cybernetics. It's an idea that machine networks can be used to build a new kind of world is somewhat of an illusion. That to actually build a new kind of world, you have to have an idea of what you want. Machines can't give you what you want. What machines can give you is what they know you had yesterday. But the machines are brilliant at reading what you did yesterday and then saying to themselves, well, that's like what millions of other people did as well, so we'll give him more of that tomorrow. So you live with the machines, make you live with the ghosts of your own past. What they can't do is imagine a future for you. The roots of the idea that you can create a new kind of order through networks without a hierarchy, it has many different roots, but the most recent root comes out of technological utopianism out of Silicon Valley in the mid-1990s, because they looked at the emerging networks and they looked at the idea that somehow running through those, people could feed information backwards and forwards to each other. And they thought, well, out of that, you can create a world without a new kind of democracy, without leaders, that somehow through the information bouncing backwards and forwards, you could create a new kind of stability. They pointed to nature and they said, this is what nature does. So we can do the same thing. And it has its roots also in the counterculture, the hippies, because they started a thing called the Whole Earth Catalogue, which was an early version of the internet where people would send in their recommendations of a product or a piece of machinery. And out of that, they would assemble what was the best idea. So it was, in a way, it worked very well for that kind of consumerism. And it worked very well to assemble many people, say, on social media, like Facebook, where they could find people like each other. What it can't tell you is what you do with that network. To have a system where there are no leaders, where people exchange information, is a management structure. It's a way of managing millions of people. The idea of what you do with that comes out of a vision of the future. And what they found in the Occupy movement was that when they got there, when they got to, say, in London or in Wall Street, when they got there, they looked around and they thought, well, what do we do now? And they said, well, we'll just have meetings. And they had these meetings. And I'm afraid I was there for some of them. To an outsider, they're a little bit absurd, because you had well-educated, middle-class white liberals, predominantly white liberals, sitting around, waving their hands in the air to agree and dipping their hands to if they disagreed. And out of that, they believed a new kind of order would come. What they had not understood was that if you want to change the world, you have to tackle power. And power in this world, in all our countries, is deeply, deeply rooted. And it's very powerful. And to tackle power, you have to have an idea that inspires millions of people who won't necessarily be like you. They may be people you don't like. Some of them may be racist. Some of them may have horrible sexist views. But you have to inspire them to get them on your side by saying, if you follow me and give me your vote, or give me the power that millions of people can have when they're together, then we will together create this kind of world. It's not a top-down authoritarian idea. It's an idea of an inspired idea that gets people to work towards something. And in that sense, you have to have a hierarchy. It doesn't mean, well, this is the big question. The tech utopians will say a hierarchy always leads to a kind of dictatorship, which is also what the free market right say. They're very similar. And in fact, many of the Silicon Valley people are libertarian right-wingers. I'm not sure that's true, because the evidence of the failure of the Occupy movement and the failure of all other attempts to challenge power shows that when you just literally assemble people and say, right, we've now got a new kind of democracy, you don't have the ability to challenge power. And to be honest, the Occupy movement failed so badly. It's astonishing that they haven't been criticised more. They had a fantastic slogan. Wonderful slogan. And also, because of the moment, they had millions of people who were actually sympathetic to them, who would not normally be sympathetic to that kind of uprising. And they blew it. And I think they blew it, well, partly because they were negligent, but also because they confused a technical process with a vision of the future.
RRS, Museo Reina Sofia Radio.